Welcome to the ITAD Talk Podcast with your host, Jeff Bittner. And part two in this series.
The question for Patty, what training or implementation resources do you have available for companies that are working towards R2V3 certification? And I just might add, I'm sure you have companies that call up in a panic because they're trying to add a key customer, and all of a sudden that customer is requiring R2, and they're thinking that, oh boy, we're just going to get this done in like 2 or 3 weeks, right?
I get many of those calls. Unfortunately, we can't help them get this done in 2 or 3 weeks, but we do have many, many different resources, all as part of the R2 guidance and knowledge base. So for the previous R2 2013 standard, we had a guidance document. Roger, you always say how many pages. I think it was 45 pages.
It's 58.
58 pages. Instead, we've replaced that with a knowledge base that has hundreds of articles and resources for facilities to learn more about the requirements in R2, to understand them better, and then also resources to help them implement those requirements. And we're adding to this weekly, so it's a great resource for people. A couple of sections I just point out, for folks that are new, we have a getting certified section, and that really provides them with everything they need to, you know, learn about the steps to certification and what it entails and that overview of the standard. It links to consultants and certification bodies. But another good resource in the knowledge base is the video library. We have more than 35 training videos that really explain the intent and desired outcomes of each section of the standard, and then more detail. So that's the level one video, but then we have level two videos that go into more detail about specific requirements. And so that's a great resource. Roger just launched a podcast library a couple of months ago. And so those podcasts are really great because they are more topical driven and tips about successful implementations and successful audits. So that's been a really popular aspect of the knowledge base. And then we also have training. You can look by requirement on all of the core requirements. There are 10 requirement sections. There are 6 specialty process sections, so that you can look by that to see everything that we have available. The great thing about the knowledge base, too, is that it uses Google's auto translation service. So for organizations that are working around the world, they can have access to these articles and resources in automatically translated versions. And the videos also can be translated using YouTube's translation tool. So that's a great resource.
So a quick question. What do you think the length of the audit time increased by from, say, last year to the now R2V3? We actually have our audit coming up in February. So I was just curious what you thought. I mean, I'm thinking it's like maybe not quite double, but close to it.
What I would say is it's going to really depend on the facility. There are, first of all, a few main areas of cost. So for those that are new and unfamiliar with R2, there's the $2,000 annual license fee, and we do have a $1,250 nonprofit fee. There's the cost for the other standards that R2 requires. So whether that's ISO 14001 and 45001, or alternatively the RIO certification to meet the health and safety and environmental requirements, that's part of the cost. But the biggest cost really is that audit time. And the new code of practices has tables that specify minimum audit times based on a number of things. So the number of employees, there are 3 tiers. There's 1 to 25 employees, 26 to 175, and more than 176. So the more employees, the more audit time. But to audit just for those core requirements, the audit time for R2 is really quite minimal, because the environmental health and safety certifications really provide the foundation. And the core part of R2 is minimal. What adds a lot more time are the process requirements. And that really, again, depends on a number of things, the number of employees, and the number of processes that are taking place. So we worked out a couple of examples. So for a small phone refurbisher, and this is a real case scenario, that had two employees. They certified to Appendix A, which has additional requirements for qualifying downstream vendors. That added, because they used some non-R2 downstream vendors, that added an extra quarter day. So their core audit time was one audit day for R2. Because they used non-R2 downstream vendors, that took a little extra audit time to scrutinize. That's an extra quarter day. They also certified to Appendix B, additional requirements for data sanitization, that's an extra quarter day, and Appendix C for test and repair, that's a half day. So the R2 audit days for them were two. And then they also certified to Rios to satisfy the requirements for an environmental health and safety management system and that quality system. So all told, for them, it was a 3.5-day audit. Now, that is best case scenario. So for companies that have extenuating circumstances, or maybe the audit, they've had a track record of some nonconformances that the auditor will want to take a closer look at, that adds to the audit time. So the audit times we specify are minimum. But for a mid-sized phone refurbisher, it could be, instead of 3.5 days, it could be 5.5 days. Or for a full service facility that's certifying, to test and repair and that data sanitization and materials recovery, they could be looking at 5 audit days for a smaller company to 9 audit days for a larger, more full service facility to audit R2 and Rios. Now, if you're auditing ISO certifications, those mandate longer times, audit time. So that's going to be more expensive than the R2 Rios version option.
Hey, so one of the things I wanted to ask you when you guys spoke at the eScrap reuse show is they're doing some virtual audits now. And so my question to you is, when you're going for the first R2 V3 audit, can that be done on a virtual, or is that always going to be, kind of boots on the ground?
The answer is yes to both. A first audit is always in two stages. There's a stage one where the documentation is checked and the overall paper level processing is verified before proceeding to stage two. Stage two is a walkthrough of the facility and seeing how things actually work, interviewing employees and such activities like that. So the stage one can be done remotely for any new auditee, but stage two needs to be done physically because the company's never been seen before, and it's something that the audit company has no records of what it looks like, where they are, the conditions. That right. It's impossible to do that with remote cameras, no matter how good they are. So that is one condition. We've got these written down in the code of practices and some other documentation that shows where remote audits can be performed. Typically, in the 3-year audit cycle, one of the surveillance audits can be done totally remotely. Once the place has been visited once, they can do a remote audit, unless there's other conditions that pop up, in which case they need to go in and check. If there is a change in the facility, addition of processes, or a move for the facility, it's then necessary to go in and actually take a look again.
Okay. And then
I just want to emphasize, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Please, go ahead.
I'd like to just emphasize, too, that the remote audit is at the discretion of the certification body. So some companies are going to be a good candidate for that. If they've had a good track record. So this isn't so much for new companies, but for existing companies. If they've had a good track record, remote audits are a great way to maintain costs. However, if there have been, you know, a history of non-conformance or other things that require more scrutiny, the CB does have the discretion to say you're not a good candidate at this time for that.
Thanks again for tuning in. And don't forget to subscribe anywhere you listen.